This week on the Rock for Him podcast, we talk to the guys from the band Remedy 3. Hates me, but hey, for those watching and listening, welcome into the Rock for Him podcast. I am your host, Sand Shoes. As you can see, I'm joined as always by my sister in Christ, Kira Starr. Kira, how you doing today?
Absolutely amazing. How are you?
Doing pretty good. And our guests for tonight are Mark and Ray from the band Remedy 3. Gentlemen, how's it going tonight?
Very good. Thanks for having us. Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us tonight. Can you tell the listener, the Rock for Him viewers and listeners, just a little bit about yourselves and about the band?
Sure. I'll go first, Mark.
Sure.
kind of give you a dual story here. So if strictly keeping the music right for now, I've known Mark since 2012. Got to know Mark. We formed a couple cover bands. Got to know him real well over the years. Him and his family, we've become very close. In those years, we had a couple cover bands that we did that we decided not to make any money on, that we literally gave all the money away to somebody in the community going through a hard time. So we would play bars, regular gigs, and whatever's going on in the community. We'd find somebody who's going through cancer, lost a loved one, house fire. I mean, just about anything you can think of. Was able to do that with two different cover bands and gave the money away. Raised about $180,000 over those years for people. And right around 2022, I felt a calling that my time was finished with that. And I reached out to Mark and said, hey, I think God's leading me out of this, out of that, I should say, and into writing our own music, our own Christian rock music, basically, writing for Christ. And Mark, without hesitation, jumped right in. And that's kind of the real short story of how the band formed. There's much more behind it, but that's the quick take on it. And Mark's become like a brother to me. So we have this musical, not only a brotherhood connection, but a musical connection that we know what each other's going to do next.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah. So just to expand on that, my name is Mark Fierbacher, and I started playing guitar at an early age, around 14 years old. When I met Ray, I mean, I honestly, it was 2012, but it feels like yesterday. I can remember exactly going into audition for a band that he was in and being a little bit nervous, and ultimately getting the gig. And we played for, I don't know, maybe like 6 months. And I'm just going to share this. This might be a little out of sequence, and apologize if this is a question you're going to ask later, but this is like a God sighting for me, because about 6 months in, we were practicing. I don't even know if we had a full gig yet. And I went on vacation with my family. My children were pretty young still at the time. And I just remember going, you know, I don't think I can do this band thing. It's just going to take too much time away, and I have a full-time job, and I just didn't know if I'd be able to do it. So I called and reluctantly just told the bandmates that, you know, I was out. And they still carried on for a while, and they really were struggling to find a replacement guitar player. And then months later, they called me back and said, hey, you know, you want to reconsider? And I don't know what it was, but something moved me to reconsider. And I said, yes. And then a few practices later, we agreed as a band that every dollar that we made, it was just not very valuable splitting it up between four people at the end of the night. So we said, let's just pool it and give it to people in need. And that grew into something just massive over like a 10-year period. And then when Ray was kind of felt that wasn't fulfilling him anymore, I was close to where he was, not totally there, but didn't take a lot of pushing for me to say, yeah, let's do this. And I'll tell you, having an original band is very different than having a cover band. It's a whole different dynamic, and you really have to humble yourself. But it's tremendously rewarding because it's so you just let your creativity flow.
Love it.
It's awesome. Which band was it that you were auditioning for?
Well, it started as Amanda's Rage, and Ray could probably tell you that funny story. And then we turned into Rise Again, and that's where a lot more magic happened after Amanda's Rage. So,
Amanda's Rage came from a funny name. So that's the point that Mark, we all got together, and then Mark decided that he was going to take a break. So we're auditioning other guitar players. And where we auditioned was our drummer's warehouse where he worked. And we had this guy come in. He was a great guy, very laid back, a blues player. And literally in the middle of the audition, he put down his guitar, walked out of the building, and came back about 15 minutes later. We had no idea what this guy was doing. He came back in. We're like, dude, where did you go? And he's like, oh, I went to Lori's Natural Foods next door. And we're like, well, that's weird, right? You're in the middle of an audition. He goes, I had to get a cake because I came home from work the other night and my girlfriend or his wife had a cake in the fridge left over and he ate it all. And he realized the next morning that when the cake was gone, his comment to me was, trust me, you don't want to see my wife's Amanda's Rage. So that just stuck with me at the moment. I said, that's a great band name. Needless to say, he didn't get the gig. But he did come to a few shows and I got to meet his wife. We told funny stories about how the name came into play. So that was pretty funny, yeah.
Yeah, so when I came back to the band, it was now named Amanda's Rage, and I had nothing to do with it. So
So
That is hilarious.
how did you come up with the name Remedy 3 then?
So that we went through, well, let me back up a little bit. Remedy 3 started with a different singer and a different drummer. And the mindset we had was a Southern rock, hard rock type thing, and that's what the singer did. And it's somebody that we've played with before, Kevin Soul and David Schlindler, in a band called Soul Angel. And they played with us. We wrote a couple songs. And then just life changes, that didn't work out. Kevin had to go on and do some other things. He had to just take a break from it. And then the band changed to what we are now. And the reason I give that preface to that story is we went through a plethora of names. I bet you I had 35 names on the sheet.
Yes.
And we almost went with the band, a name called Shadowland. But that sat there with me for a while. And I was sitting right at this desk one night and I was just praying and writing down different things. And one of them, I had written down Remedy at one point. And every time I wrote that down, I thought of the Black Crowes, because that's one of their big songs, Remedy. But I also wrote down Believe in Three. And I wrote that down and I looked at it and I thought about it. I go, well, that's really a song name, not really a band name. And then probably a half hour later, as I'm just sitting there going through all this, it's like the Holy Spirit spoke to me and took those two words and put them together. And he says, I'm your remedy. And there's so many things that happen in threes. Obviously, you got the Trinity, you got 3 days. We just celebrated Easter, 3 days. There's so many threes in the Bible. And I looked at it and I got goosebumps and I said, that's it. And I didn't even ask these guys. I sent them an email, or I think it was a text message, Mark. And I said, hey, name's been chosen. This is what it is. Remedy 3. And it was just very unique and divinely inspired.
That's awesome. Yeah, there is a lot of threes in the
Yes.
Bible. My old podcast, our logo had, I think it's Hebrews. I can't remember what the exact address is, but it's a three cord rope is not easily broken because there was three of us on the show. So,
Tricord.
yeah,
Yeah.
tricord. Yeah.
Yep.
Our label mates. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and when picking the name and all these different names we went through, one thing we are, and I think a lot of bands are this, but we are a band of four. We are four people in the band. So there's been a lot of people say, why isn't it Remedy Four? There's four of you in the band. You're not Rush. Like, why is there's not three of you? But the four of us in the band, we are all a personality. So when Ray and I were going through these names, you could imagine some of the disagreements and fights we had over the ones that I liked versus the ones that he liked. And It's just so interesting because in a lot of ways, those dynamics don't work out real well when you have two people. And in this case, now with John and Ron, we are all 4A personalities, but we all come to the table on everything. I'm not saying there's not times where we have to fight for what we want, but we somehow do it, and that's divine, right? So that's us praying before every practice, praying before every gig, praying when we go to band meetings, stuff like that, and just asking the Lord to lead us and make sure to keep our hearts in check and all of that kind of stuff. So these eight personalities that could really get in the way, somehow we managed to be able to do a lot and humble ourselves through it as well.
Love it.
So, do you guys still do like every event that you have? Do you still donate all that money?
No, we don't now with this band.
Because
Frank
there's
and
not
Ron
that much to make.
make money. It's actually it's a ministry, right? It's actually costing us money to do this.
Right.
I mean, I tally everything, and we're definitely in the hole. So there's no money to give away.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of these venues we play, they are very generous with how that, with what they have. But we are sometimes now traveling. I mean, we just traveled to Columbus. I mean, that was a 7-hour drive. We've traveled 3, 4 hours. Next month, we're traveling up 4 hours to the Thousand Islands area. So just to travel alone, when you figure that expense, even if they could pay what we all know everybody wants to pay, it would just maybe pay for the travel. So.
And I really think that that was the setup that God had for us, right? So back to that cover band story, Mark's the one who came up with the idea. He said to us, hey, what are we all going to do it? We all have professional lives. We don't need the little bit of extra cash that I was going to pay. And his idea was give it to charities. Then we dug a little deeper and said, well, let's cut out that middleman. And actually, I mean, we went to people's houses and handed them money in the hospital. We went, bought all the kids' Christmas gifts and delivered them, things like that. And I really think that was a plan that God had for us to understand you're not making music money out doing this music. And we were able in those cover bands, we prayed it to people knew that we were Christians. So we
Yeah.
had songs we would not play. We were in the bar setting. We would pray with people at 2 a.m. in the bar. They would ask us about what's going on. We would pray with them. So I really think that that was God molding at least Mark and I to say, hey, I'm building you for something new. And I can look back and see that now to where we go, no, we don't even expect to make money in this. We don't. I mean, everything we do here is a ministry and it's costing us and that's just fine by us.
Hey Ray, if I'm not mistaken, I think in Amanda's Rage and Rise Again, we prayed on stage before we played at every gig,
Every show.
and that was pretty awesome when you are in these bars and it's a very secular event and they see a band pray. And just last week we had a really great gig. We opened up for Gene Loves Jezebel, a secular band from the 80s, and we had an opportunity to play our original music in front of believers and non-believers, and that was a really great experience for us. But we could have prayed in the green room behind the stage, and had a little more time to think about what we were going to say and all that. But to Ray's point, we decided that we were going to go right into praying on stage because part of it is showing people what prayer can do, and just sort of showing that. So, and in such a good way.
Yeah, it wasn't a show-off way, obviously.
No, no,
We're
no,
told
no.
not to do that, but to do it in a public way too, where people can, they kind of cock their head a little bit and go, what are they doing up there? We actually had a singer from one of the bands that we were playing with wanted to come out and pray. We were in a green room, like Mark was saying, discussing. I go, hey, no, we're gonna go out there and pray on stage around the drum set like we always do. And she wanted to join us. She goes, you guys do what? We said, yeah. She said, come on, let's
He
go. So
prayed
two
with us
shows.
up on stage.
Yeah. So that
That's
was kind of
awesome.
cool.
That's
Yeah,
awesome.
I love
I
that. I think it's important.
I remember before I accepted Jesus, when I would go to shows, if I ever did see a band pray, it always struck me as positive. Whether I believed or not, I saw it as a good thing, and it made me kind of enjoy the show even better. So I think that's great you guys did that.
Yeah,
And it does have an impact on people. I had some friends that were in a Christian band that they did the exact same thing. Every time they played this one particular bar here in Michigan, they made sure they gathered around the drum kit and they all prayed before they started playing. And you could see that after the show, people were like, "Well, what were you doing up there?" "Oh, we're praying. We're just asking God to be with us." And we've heard stories of lives being changed from that. Really? Like
Sure. Yeah.
Christians listen to that kind of music? You guys can do that as a Christian? Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And it humbles us. You're in a green room, you're around professionals, you get ready to go on stage, there's an audience out there waiting for you. You slow down, you pray, it humbles you. You ask the Holy Spirit to come direct, guide and direct your path of what's happening that night. And it really just takes your ego from up here to down here and puts you to where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
For sure. So my next question is kind of a two-parter. One, how did you get hooked up with Resurrection Records? Because we're really good friends with them. And two, we have a nickname for Aaron. We call him Cap because he's like Captain America. He was assembling the Christian Avengers.
I love
And so which Avengers are you guys?
Oh,
Oh,
geez. Mark, I'll let you pick those out. So, I guess I'll be ca I can't be Captain America. Aaron already is. So that's a great question. I have no
well,
idea.
no, Ray, I'll speak for you. You take Iron Man because you love the red man.
You can't
That's
be
true.
Iron Man. You already got an Iron Man in Resurrection
That's
Records.
true. Yeah. It's stained red. Yeah, that's
All
true.
right. So you got so now you're gonna be Spider-Man.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
I still
Listen,
got the I love you sign then, right? So I can do that.
I'll happily take Thor. I'll happily take Thor.
If you have to, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
But no, how did you guys get hooked up with Resurrection Records?
So we played a thing called the North Country Music Festival 2 years ago, I guess, right, Mark? Was it, or was it
Yeah.
last?
It was last year we played it, but the year before we played at the church
Okay, yeah,
in
but then,
Carthage. Yep.
so last year we played the North Country Music Fest, which had Tricord on the bill, and they were having issues getting there. Their van broke down in Virginia. They weren't sure if they were coming. We were hearing all this back and forth, and then we got there and we met those guys. And he actually told us, he goes, "Well, Aaron, I called Aaron. He's got these guys down in Virginia. They got us another van, this big, beautiful pickup truck. Somebody let him borrow." And I started asking questions. Well, who's Aaron, and who is he, and what's going on? He's, "Oh, he's Resurrection Records," and that kind of got us on the radar for them. I connected with Aaron. I mean, Mark and I met with Aaron for hour and a half, maybe hour and 15 minutes one night, just kind of going through what they could do with us, and if we partnered with them. And that happened in October of this year. We signed with Resurrection Records.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it was really educational. That first conversation with Aaron was, he gave us a whole lot of insight on the music industry, how it all works. It was super fascinating. So he's a great guy and a great organization, so we're really happy to be with them.
Yeah, I mean, I can go get us a bar gig 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for a cover band. I couldn't tell you how to get us played on radio, though, or get on the festivals and things like that. So it's really been educational for us and helpful.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you guys are doing something right getting on the radio. You actually sent us your EP back when we were on our old station. I think it was you, Ray, that sent it to
Yeah.
me and was like, "Hey, would you be interested in putting this on the radio?" And I was like, "Yes, yes, I would."
And we absolutely appreciate that. That was
Yeah.
helpful. Thank you.
For sure.
Yeah, no problem. I absolutely love your music.
Well, it's so Kira and I were talking before we went live, and we were just talking about how, we are, I don't want to say we're trying to bring a genre back, but we just the place that Ray and I come from musically, and then Ron, our singer, and John, our drummer, we all have very similar musical tastes, and so it shows in our music. I mean, we really are 80s, late 70s, mid 80s kids. We love that hard rock sound. We like, some of that, the crisp melodies, love like heavy guitar riff type stuff. And so even if we try to write something different, it always comes out in a style that is just clearly Remedy 3.
And we've tried. We have absolutely tried. I mean, we've got, people say, you got to write like this. We absolutely tried. And by the time the song was done, we went back and listened and went, well, that's Remedy 3. That's not what we thought it was going to be. And that we've just come to the conclusion that that's where God's put us. That's what
That's
comes
who we
out of
are, yeah.
us. That's what we write. So, that's it. It's distinctively Remedy 3, but I mean, even the new stuff we're writing, we have a song right now that's almost a Ramones punk type song. And there's some other ones that are almost progressive. But when you listen to them back, you still go, well, that's Remedy 3. We
Yeah.
just, and I think that's great. We can change a little bit of the style and still have our signature sound.
So you
Yeah, I
guys
think
are
what
basically the AC/DC of Christian rock.
I
Boy,
believe that's epicenter.
I'm really liking this. We're being compared to AC/DC. I'm being compared to Thor. At least that's how my brain's gonna process this.
I gotta tell you, Mark's wife is gonna love that.
Yeah, no, it's but I think we actually just had a band meeting recently, and we sort of did talk about this. But I think that's what makes it really cool when we play with other bands on our other label mates and other Christian rock bands, is that we add a little variety. So they I mean boy we like we just played with Weapons of God. What a great band. I just like their sound is so tough and just sounds so awesome. You know what? I couldn't sound like that in a million years, but when we play side by side with them, people get two different feels, and I think that that's pretty awesome.
Love
And
it.
we're young enough right now, like when we went to Ohio to play the Resurrection Fest, that there's a couple of people, there's Heaven is Metal was there, Iron FM, and all of them come up and went, we didn't know what to expect out of you guys because we didn't hear it, but then they loved the sound that they heard. So it's always good to get that type of feedback. It's kind of surprising when they go, ah, I like that.
Yeah.
Love it.
So I have a question.
Right.
Your song IC924, is that 1 Corinthians
Yes, ma'am.
in
Yes.
chapter 2 or chapter 9, verses 2 through 4?
Nope, 9, verse 24.
Verse 24?
Yes.
But there
Yep.
is no 24, is there?
What, yeah, 1C924 is 924. It's about running the race. And actually, if
Okay.
you go a little bit further into it, it talks about if you, in that song, it talks about beating the air. And that's also, if you read a little bit farther, that's beating the air is in there also.
Okay. I thought so. I just wanted to make sure.
Yes, yep. 924.
I was
That's
going to ask
cool.
that exact same question. That was the next one I had on my list.
And before we
Sorry.
get Kira, that shirt you're wearing, I
Yeah.
love that company. I almost wore that same shirt tonight, just so you know.
Really? That would
That's
have been awesome.
Disciple Threads. That is such a good company. They make some quality t-shirts, good stuff.
Yeah, this is so soft, so
Yes.
fitting. It doesn't lose its. Yeah, I love them. I absolutely love
Just
them.
had to throw a little plug for Disciple Threads now.
Yeah. Hit us up.
It's interesting you mentioned 1C924 because as a band, we the four of us feel very strongly that that song deserves to be a single. So I hope I'm not letting the cat out of the bag here, but that's what you're going to start hearing a lot more of is that song, because that's actually one of the first songs we actually wrote, and I feel like it's got a lot of a prog feel to it. Not everybody's gonna pick that out of it. For me, it's one of the more challenging songs to play on the guitar. It's not hard, but it's because it's got a lot of single string picking, and I just love those dynamics. I love playing that song.
And I'll read it for you here. It says, don't you know that runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives a prize? Run in such a way to win the prize. Now, everyone who completes exercise self-control in everything. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we own an imperishable crown. So I do not run like the one who runs aimlessly or box like one beating the air. Instead, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself may not be disqualified.
Love it.
That's amazing.
Thank
So
you.
you were
That I got to give
talking.
credit. I got to just not to interrupt, but I got to give credit to those lyrics on that song. That was our singer, Ron Wickens. He comes up with some fantastic melodies, and he probably writes 90% of the lyrics that we have, and he's great at it. So that was all, those lyrics were all Ron.
Yeah, in we were having a conversation during band practice one night, and our other song, Tears in a Bottle, Ron's sitting there saying, so, we decided we I think the way we wrote that song, this is not the way we write every song, but that particular song, we kind of wrote the music, kind of had the melody, also had the theme of the song, and that was also to Ron. We thought about Tears in a Bottle. He hadn't written the lyrics yet, but he said, the verse that it comes from, and I unfortunately I don't know it off the top of my head, but it's like two sentences. So he's like, I had to take those two sentences and turn that into a song. He said, the verse that it comes from, and I unfortunately I don't know it off the
Oh,
top of my
got the
head.
feedback.
We're getting some
Yes.
feedback. He was like, yeah, I had to take those two sentences and turn
Oh,
that
I don't
into
like hearing my voice.
a song. The verse that it comes from,
So,
oh, hold on. That might be me. Hold on. Nope. There we go. There,
Ray,
that's that
come
fixed.
on.
Sorry. Sorry. I was switching screens because I was going to pull up because it's in Psalms, but I don't remember exactly, but I'm not going
We're
to
a
look
professional
that Sorry.
podcast
Oh We're
here.
obviously not.
We are the farthest thing from professional. Listen, I got about 10 minutes into our last show and realized I didn't hit record.
There we go.
And I was like, all right, hold on, we gotta start it all over again.
Been
So
there, done that.
that's our I've showed up to gigs. I'm the guy that has to bring all the merch and go, I forgot the merch.
has happened.
Yes. Yep. And I
So
think we still sold merch though. We just
we did.
did a lot of IOUs.
That's right. Yep.
Nice. So when does 1C924 come out as a single? Because I think Steppin' just hit its 15th week
Yep.
on the top 15, so that got retired, which any bands out there that are watching, I get this question all the time. We have you on there 15 weeks. As soon as you hit that 15th week, you get retired, so you might have a new song to come on.
So
When does it come?
we asked the same question. I'm like, hey, what happened to our song? He's like, 15 weeks. So Mark let the cat out of the bag. We haven't even talked to Aaron about that yet. That is just something we literally had a band meeting on Monday night. We went out to dinner, or no, I'm sorry, Saturday. We went out to dinner and or lunch and talked about it. And we want to get new stuff out yet, but it's taken longer than anticipated. And I think there's still a lot of value in the EP we got that just hasn't gotten out there to radio yet. And again, we discussed it. And I think that's the best song in the album, personally, me. But if you ask me next week, I'll probably tell you it's a different one. But still, that's the one I think that's the one that we're going to push next.
Well, as soon as you guys give me the okay, I will put it on the top 15 vote list. So,
All right.
nice.
Kira, I know you've got a whole list of stuff there. She is our researcher. She comes in with stuff that most bands are like, how did you find that?
All
So,
right.
be
Uh-oh.
prepared.
Hey, I gotta go. I'm sorry, guys.
Oh, you give me too much credit. No, I do have a kind of a silly question. Who is Tom?
Tom Clattenburg was our drummer that one of the drummers we had. He was on the album. He recorded Deceived with us. He played a bunch of gigs with us. And again, it just kind of a life took over on him, and he decided that he couldn't do the commitment to the band. And so he was our second drummer, actually, but he recorded Deceived on the album.
I was going to ask you why
What
he was
made
in
you?
a taco costume.
Oh, that's funny. That was his birthday. That was one of his birthday pictures. Yes. He was out there cooking in a taco costume. Yes. He
Was
was.
cooking in it. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Tom's been a friend of mine since I think the eighth grade. We've known each other. He's a dear friend, and just life didn't allow him to have the time, the commitment that we were looking for in this to keep going. But he's an amazing drummer, a great friend, and we had a lot of fun with him. He was in Rise Again also, so
Yeah.
he was in that band too.
Okay, cool. And I know you guys don't do covers anymore, but you still did a cover of I Can Only Imagine.
So we do covers occasionally. In fact, we got one gig at the end of the month that we're going to probably have to throw in three or four covers. Generally, the covers we are choosing are probably Christian songs. Like we do Devil by Ann Wilson, but we don't do it her way. We do it kind of our way.
Yeah.
The other bands that we cover, one of our favorite bands is Collective Soul. So we cover some of their stuff. But yeah, well, if we have gigs that the time frame, we only got six songs in EP, but we probably got, I don't know, four or five that we're actually ready to play out with. So we only got like 10 songs live. So if we get that longer set list, we need to throw on some covers.
Yeah, that
Yes,
makes sense.
so Ray had turned me on when we first hooked up back in 2012 to Stryper. So we also do a Michael Sweet cover from Stryper. If any time Stryper is in town, Ray and I are there for sure. But Shine from Collective Soul, interestingly, up until we started this band, we had never played one gig. And I don't know, Ray, how many gigs you think we've played with the other bands? 100, 100
Probably
and
more than that.
something, 120, 150. We always, always, always played the song Shine. So that just sort of became like it wouldn't be a night if we didn't play that song. We did bring that over to Remedy 3. When we had gigs where we had enough time, Shine was always in the mix. It's just a song that speaks to Ray and I. It always will.
And when we played it with the cover bands we were in, Mark would play the guitar low in the background, and I would speak to our faith and what that song meant to us. So in the bars, we were still sharing our faith with that.
Love it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I think the song actually says, "Heaven, let your light shine on me." And then Ray changes the lyrics to, "Jesus, let your light shine on me." And
On the I'm
every
yeah.
time he does that, it's super powerful. I mean, I'm playing my guitar, so most of the time in all the other songs, I'm not paying attention to anything except for what I'm playing. But when he says, "Jesus, let your light shine on me," he says it with such reverence, and it's like, that's just awesome. It just like hits me like a lightning bolt.
We do that on the outro of the song towards the end when they're doing double paces it, and it's a good spot for
I am a cover song nerd. Like, I love cover songs. So hear me out. Remedy 3 cover CD. Come on, make it
Wow.
happen. If nothing else, just record some covers and send them to me.
We might be able to do that.
That could be pretty cool because
I would
we
love
actually
to
do
hear that
some really cool
version of
covers.
Collective Soul. Oh my goodness. Like, I love that song. So if you guys were to do that,
Yeah, we
we
get
could,
the
yeah.
Petra. We do some Petra. We mix it up, and yeah, that would be fun.
We do some Third Day. We did some Third Day too.
Nice. So earlier you had said that you'd played a few shows with some of your Resurrection Records label mates. I'm gonna get you guys into some trouble here. Who's your favorite label mate to play with? Who haven't you played with yet that you want to?
We haven't played with Stained Red, so that would be one because I think their style is real similar to ours. Weapons of God, we really connected with. End of I know Cure is one of Cure's favorites. Had a great talk with him too. So, the beauty of Resurrection Records is it's not a single style. So you have bands playing different styles. So it's hard to say. You may ask me today what my favorite one is. But 3 days down the road here, I might be listening to somebody else and go, "No, I like that one better." So, my kid, it's funny when we were growing up, my kids were growing up. What's your favorite? I'm like, I don't really have favorites because it changes, So I'm not one of those guys that can say that's my favorite. But
Yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
I would agree. Well, we it's not so much about being the best that I've heard. Like, I think they were amazing. All the bands we played with so far have been amazing. But we did, like Ray said, we did connect just on a little bit of a different level with Weapons of God. And it might have just been a timing thing of that night, but we connected with them, talked to them for a while. And then as we left that gig, I was like blasting their music for, I don't know, days on end. So, but End of I, really good. Tricord, who was actually the first band that we played with from Resurrection before we were even with Resurrection. We played with them up at the North Country Music Festival. I just got to say, like, all these bands that you meet, and it's not a surprise, right? That's the sort of the Christian way. The love, the support, the like instantly feeling like you've known these people for a long time is there. And you don't always see that in music. So that was a really cool change of pace.
Humble. Humble is the word. We've been at other shows in our past, not with this band, but just everybody that we played with has been very humble. So, and that's a nice change for us to see.
If
There's
you
no
ever get the
pompousness.
opportunity, if you ever get the opportunity, Crimson Overtone. Christina could sing the phone book and it would sound fantastic. And Evan is probably one of the funniest guys you will meet.
We met Evan. We were on a label meeting with him once. Super awesome guy.
He used to randomly pop into our podcast, just absolutely random. Just all of a sudden, there's Evan. He would pop up, ask a random question, and then he'd be gone. And we'd be like, literally, what just happened? But my co-host was sending him the links. He's like, I gotta come on and ask a question. And it was like nothing to do with the band, just random questions.
Well, I can tell you that we can't wait to just play more shows with more groups that are on the label and learn from them and get experiences with them and make memories. Like that's something that's very exciting for me for the future.
So the Ohio show had End of I, and I'm trying to think of the other band, and I can't think of the name of. Do you remember, Mark?
No, I was trying to think of it too.
Yeah, shoot. I apologize.
Yeah, I mean, these gigs when you're playing with multiple bands is a little bit of a whirlwind because, you've got like sound check, you've got very limited time to switch. You want to be respectful so that you don't cut into someone else's time. So the whole thing's a little bit of a stress ball. And then you reflect on it afterwards and you're like, oh, I wish I would have had more time to talk to these people or to these folks. Because, putting on a show for people and you have a bunch of bands playing, there's a lot that goes into it just to make it work on a timings level.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I know Aaron is working on bringing Resurrection Fest up here to Michigan because that's where End of I is from. I mean, they're literally like a few miles from me, so.
We're in.
Yeah,
We'll
we're
do.
in. We'll make the drive.
Sweet. Love that. All right,
So we
I'm
just
gonna
got to
go
get
talk to
someone to
Kira.
sponsor a tour bus for us. We're gonna be good to go.
What's
All right,
next,
Kira.
Kira? What do you got?
Why is it all on me? Isn't this the part where we normally ask people their testimonies?
Oh yeah, see? That's what I was trying to get you to do. I
That's why
told
you're in
you,
charge
we
here.
are professional. So yeah, if you guys could share your testimonies with us just real quick, just how did you come to know who Christ
Sure.
was?
I'll jump, Mark. So Mark's gonna tell you the same thing. We don't have one of these moments in our life that was like, that's it, boom. I mean, Kira, I know you do. You have a powerful testimony. I was raised in a little country church, and we had no money. And that little country church used to send my brothers and I to a church camp every year, and that's where my faith started. So I started this little church camp when I was 8, 9, 10 years old. My mother was a praying mother. My father died when I was 10. We moved to a different city. I found a Batavia, well, the city is called Batavia, Assembly of God in Batavia. I connected with a youth pastor. I was in Royal Rangers, if you're familiar with that. My faith grew there. As I got older into my teenage years, obviously, as most people do, that kind of got pushed over here, and didn't live, the Christian lifestyle at all. I had a son, met my now bride. We had a son, and later on down the years, we decided, I was like, faith has always been important to me, so I want to get back to, raising my family with faith. So we found a church. We started going to church. Faith started growing then. And in 2012, when I went, met Mark, I had a massive heart attack, and my life changed in an instant. And that really opened my eyes to where the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, saying things need to change. And that's part of where the helping with the band, giving money away, all of that came in, and my faith got stronger. And I moved from there and to where I am now. And just like I said, there was no, shouldn't say there wasn't an aha moment, because there was, because I probably did that altar call 20 times in my life, right? At church and everywhere else, at church camp and stuff. But those pieces, those seeds were laid. And we talk about this all the time as a band. Our job is to present the gospel to people. It's not to convert them. Our job is to present the gospel. The Holy Spirit moves them and converts them. And I think I had people throughout my life who just did that. My mother, the youth pastors, the Royal Rangers people, the after I found a church, and friends with Mark coming into it. All those things just kind of molded me to where I am, and grew my faith.
Love it. Love it. How about you, Mark?
As Ray was saying, I didn't have that sort of get punched in the face and there I was reborn. My parents were both I was raised Lutheran. We went to church most holidays, maybe a couple other times during the year. My parents are very strong believers in Christ, and so that's sort of just what I knew. In my teenage years, I fell away from it, like many do, just because they're trying to figure out life, and there's all these other things that are important. What do they say? The flesh is weak. So when I got married and had children, I started coming back to the church. I got heavily involved in my church, became a Sunday school teacher, was on church council, did all that. And I was getting fed to some degree, but it actually wasn't until I got a bad, piece of information that my father was dealing with cancer. And my father was really my best friend. I mean, I had such a great relationship with my dad. And when he started to battle cancer and preparing for what we knew was potentially going to take his life at some point, we leaned heavily on the Lord during that time. Ultimately, lost my father in 2018, started really digging into what is heaven like? How does it work? How does it all work? Started reading books from Randy Alcorn, and I wanted to read books that were scriptural. Like I wanted to learn about heaven from scripture, not from near-death experiences, so to speak. Not that none of those can be trusted, but I really just wanted to see, like, all the places in the Bible, what does it have to say about where we go when we die? And I also think that a lot of churches don't focus enough on that. That's my personal opinion. But so I was digging into all these books. Then the pandemic hit. And I was going over to my mother's house every Sunday morning, and we would watch old episodes of Charles Stanley or something like that. And it just was a great thing that connected my mom and I. But I do want to tell you this sort of one aha moment, which I thought I recite this to a lot of people because I'm in the automotive industry as a profession. We have a small car dealership here in Rochester, New York. And we've been in business 40 years, and we are, we have a pretty successful business, and it's a family business. My mother, my sister, my son, my nephew, my wife, we are all in the business together, along with 28 others. But I remember like 2022, right around the time we started Remedy 3, it was late December. We were working hard for the end of the year. But something in the car business that you should know in upstate New York is that January, February, and March are are the most horrible quarter of the year for the car business in snowy Rochester. And I remember every year being super stressed out about how are we gonna make it through the first quarter without just, a lot of hardship, which we had every year. And I was just going for a walk with my dog, and I thought, in 40 years, as much of believers as I am, my father was, my mother is, my sister, my wife, we never incorporated God into our worries at work. So that January, January 1st, we went into work that morning. I called the whole staff together. I told them that I would like to start praying every month at the beginning of the month. And obviously, they did not have to participate if they didn't feel comfortable with it. They would not be, it wouldn't be held against them if they weren't comfortable with it. So, but to my surprise, everybody in the company was all in on it. So at 10 o'clock in the morning on January 1st that year, we said a prayer for our well-being as a staff. We said a prayer for our customers. We say prayers over the cars that we sell. So before a car goes out, we say a blessing over the car, over the people who are buying the car, and we pray as a company. And can I tell you that that year we had not only the best January we ever had, we had the best month we have ever had. So needless to say, we now pray every single month. We pray for our customers. We pray for our staff. We pray for the family. We pray for the business. We pray for discernment. And it's like, God's the ultimate boss.
Wow.
Sure. Love it.
So that's pretty much my story.
I love that so much. Thank you for sharing that part. That is amazing. I love that you do that. And man, if only all the companies did that. If everybody went into work with Jesus, can you
Oh,
imagine? I love it.
I couldn't imagine if we didn't do it. Like, honestly, I would be like, oh, we're doomed if we don't do this. And I know it doesn't work that way, but you get to a point where you're just like, it's so important. It's so important to include God in all of these things. And if something doesn't go right, I mean, Ray and I have played gigs where, like, we've played better gigs and we go, what did we do? Oh, you know what? Or practices, because I think we've never forgotten to pray at a gig, but
Yeah.
we have forgotten to pray at practice. And those practices sometimes didn't go as well.
Or we'll be in the middle of wanting to go, wait a minute.
You gotta
This is
pray.
going south here. We didn't do this. We need to stop and pray right now.
That's right.
Oh, I love that. Do any of you guys have an interesting baptism story?
I guess except that it was done in a very, very dirty pond. No. At church camp. My mother a couple years ago just gave me my baptism certificate. I think I was 8 years old, and we recently went back to that camp, and the pond is still there, and it moved me.
Hey, that's
So
like the
even
Jordan,
though,
right? The Jordan's really dirty too.
the fact that the pond is so bad, the health department doesn't allow them to do baptisms there anymore. So that tells you how bad. But back in the 80s, nobody cared. So no, I guess my baptism was I guess quote unquote normal for church camp kid.
Thanks.
I will say that I was baptized in the Lutheran, in our Lutheran faith. I'm more of a non-denominational Christian now. I mean, I listen to a bunch of different pastors from a bunch of different denominations, and so I just focus on the word and what scripture says. But as a Lutheran growing up, we were baptized as children, as babies. We really don't know what was happening. I'm actually considering being rebaptized now as an adult, and now, really just understanding my relationship with Christ. But what is cool is that my wife was not baptized, and when we baptized my son, my wife was baptized with him, and that was very special.
Love it.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, when
Yeah.
I was writing down the questions to ask you guys, for some reason, I believe it was God that put it on my heart to ask about baptism, and I don't understand why. That's why I was randomly asking. So
Well, Kira, you'll be happy to know that on the next album we have an amazing song called Water. And it's actually another one of as a band, the four of us, it's one of our favorites. And it's a song all about baptism, obviously, with that name.
Yep. Take me to the
Awesome.
river, put me in the water. Yep.
Love it. Well, as we're quickly running out of time, we're going to move into prayer, but I do have a really quick baptism story if you want one.
Yeah.
My wife, when she got baptized, our pastor actually dropped her as he's going to bring her back up, and she just went right back down. I'm like, well, she wasn't good enough yet. Bunk her down again. You know what I mean?
Put her in there again.
So yeah, it was hilarious. Every time we watched the video, I'm like, remember that time pastor dropped you in the baptismal? Yes.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
So.
Any comments out there? Anybody watching? What have we got? Anything good?
I haven't seen any. I've seen a couple on Facebook, but let me see here. Peter Harmich says that he got saved at church camp.
There you go. We know Pete.
Yeah, we know Pete. Yep.
Yep, I know Pete. For some reason, my phone is not updating like it normally does when I'm trying to catch Facebook
Pete and his
ads.
wife have a real heart for being metal missionaries to the rock bands out this way. So him and his wife do a good job. Yeah.
Oh,
He's a
that's
great guy.
awesome. Jose Estrada said, can't wait to see you guys in Carthage. Am I saying that right?
Yep,
Carthage?
Carthage, yep.
Carthage, May 30th. Brother Jose, yes. I met Jose years ago at Striper shows. So that's how he knows I know him, and he's now become a fan, obviously, of the band. So yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
All right. Well, it is, in my opinion, one of the most important times of the show where we pray for you guys. How can we be praying for you individually and as a band?
Wow, thank you. That's such a nice question to be asked. Well, Ray, I just think that speaking for us as a band, we pray for discernment over God's word and what he wants us to do next for his glory, and we pray for our health and the longevity of this band. Real quick, because it's kind of a cool segue into prayer, is and I hope that I'm not going to make him embarrassed by saying this, but not everybody is really comfortable with praying in front of others and praying out loud. Some people, they'll pray silently to themselves, and they certainly love prayer, but they don't like to be the one saying the prayer. And so John, our drummer, it was so amazing last week. He usually would be rather be the one that just sits back and listens to the prayer and takes it in, but we kind of pushed the envelope a little bit. Said, "Come on, John, you could do it." And it was such an amazing, genuine prayer, and it was just felt so great, right, Ray?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, it was a beautiful thing to see. Like I said, Mark said, just pray for the band. We're writing this album, that the spirit moves and tells us what to write and what to do. Discernment for the band, our families, just keeping us all healthy. There's a member of the band, his wife is battling some cancer, so definitely that would be helpful. I think you guys know John's our drummer. His house burnt down in January. They're still trying to transition out. They lost everything, so his family definitely could use lift up in some special prayer. And Ron, our singer, him and his wife, they have a beautiful son named Colin, but he deals with some health issues too that they walk through. It's sometimes pretty challenging. So those guys definitely need to be lifted up, and just that they know God's there and comfort them and guiding them.
They're
Perfect. And
definitely running the race.
for sure.
Yeah.
What was his son's name?
Colin.
Colin.
Colin. Okay, I just wanted to make sure I wrote it down
Yep.
correctly. And you mentioned new music coming out. Before we
Yep.
pray, when? Any
Well,
idea?
so we were hoping to have a single out in February, and obviously it's well past then. But what happened, as I was saying, John's house, the house fire, the tragic house fire, really set us back a little bit. So we're finally getting to the point where we're getting some drum tracks done. I hate to give a timeline because every time I do, it kind of gets pushed out because some things happen. Just this summer, as much as we want to do as much as we can, my daughter's getting married, and 2 weeks later, Mark's daughter's getting married. So July is
Congratulations.
gone for us. So we're attempting to, we'd like to have a single out, I would say, in the next 3 months, if possible. But also, if we got singles off, the EP still gaining some ground, we may hold back on that. It's gonna, just gonna have to see how that plays out and how the spirit moves and kind of what he tells us to do and when to do it.
Very nice.
And one other question. So this, just before we go, so this here, if you can see this. This is the one and only vinyl copy that my
Oh.
son had made of our album. And we're curious now that it's out if people would be interested. Are you guys vinyl people?
I am. Like
Oh, I got.
I love it.
Yeah. So,
That's so
just
pretty.
curious. It is. It's pretty, but it's a great Christmas gift from them. But we're contemplating and putting that on vinyl too. And if we do that, so
Well, if one of
yes.
them happens to make its way to me and
You'll be
signed, I
happy.
won't complain.
All right.
It sounds awesome.
I'll have to get a CD to you, though, so you can have the CD
Yes.
at least. That I can get to you.
Yes, for
Kira, are
sure.
you a CD person?
Not anymore. I am so like streamer. I just stream
Okay. All
everything. I
right. I
used
think
to be though back in the
that. All
Nice.
right. And maybe we got to get you a t-shirt for that wall, too.
Yes, t-shirts. I'm a
Right.
t-shirt girl. That's
Yes.
me,
Yeah.
t-shirt.
Yes. Yeah.
Got it.
All right. And
All
just
right.
since you're praying for everybody, John's wife's name, her name is Julie. She's
Julie.
battling some cancer, so yeah.
Okay. Julie. All right, speaking of uncomfortable prayer, Kira? No, I'm kidding. The panic that just went across her face was
Her face
awesome.
just went flat. I mean, I thought I was white with my lights, but you were really white.
I'm not ready yet.
All right, I'll
Okay.
close us out in prayer.
All right.
Great and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing Mark and Ray to us, Lord. I say you just continue to watch over them and their families. And Lord, they have daughters that are getting ready to get married here in the next couple of months. Lord, just bless both of those marriages and put a hedge of protection around both of those new families. Lord, just protect them and watch over them. I ask that you give the entire band discernment as to what you want them to do. Keep them healthy. Lord, I ask that you watch over John's wife, Julie, in this health scare. Lord, you are the great physician. You can heal all things. So please just watch over her. Please watch over the drummer and all the health issues that he has. And Lord, please watch over Colin. Again, you're the great physician. You can heal all things. So Lord, just please watch over him, give him comfort, and bring him back to full health. Lord, we thank you so much for the guys and their music. But most of all, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, dying for our sins on the cross. In his holy name, amen.
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 Well, guys, thank you so much. We appreciate it. You want to let the viewers and listeners know real quick where they can find your music?
Remedy3.com spelled right out. Obviously, Facebook. If you go to remedy3.com, I'll have the links to Facebook, TikTok, which I'm horrible at, Instagram, which I am horrible at, Facebook, but all the social media. And from there, you can also get hooked up to all of our streaming links and so forth. But Facebook's our main, and the remedy3.com is our website. Get you
I'll
all the
put links
information
to
you need.
that on the show notes for people.
Yeah, also there we have a couple music videos out on YouTube at Remedy 3. We're having a lot of fun and being very creative with AI and being able to tell our story with some cool graphics. So,
Yeah, Mark is the video guru.
all
I produce the music, Mark produces the videos.
Gotcha.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank
Very
you guys
cool.
so much for being with us. Thank you for everyone on the chat for joining with us tonight. This is Remedy 3, and if you're gonna rock for him.
Yeah.
Thank you. God
If
bless.
you like what you saw today, hit the subscribe and like button down below, and don't forget to share it to all your friends. Also, leave us a comment down below. If you're gonna rock for him.
Coming up next week on Rock for Him, we talk to Nathan and Alyssa of the band Circadia.